Father, I just thank you for your grace, for your anointing that you've placed upon me, the prophetic and apostolic anointing. God, and I thank you for speaking through me, and that your word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. God, I thank you that I will declare your word with excellence, accuracy, boldness, and prophetic revelation that will pierce hearts and bear fruit 100-fold. Father, I thank you that minds are alert, perspectives are ready to receive. Father, I thank you that the angels of God are already moving in this place, moving on behalf of everyone in this place. Father, I put a demand upon the supernatural right now. The DNA of the supernatural that's in this house, God, and upon our lives, we place a demand on it, and we fully expect signs, wonders, and miracles to occur at the result of this word, not just in this gathering, but as we leave this place, signs, wonders, and miracles. We will not say it was just a good time today. We will say we've encountered you, and now you are working with us, confirming the word. Thank you, Jesus. If you receive that, say amen. Glory be to God. I'm good. But if I start singing, run to the podium. Sometimes the anointing comes upon me, and I get like Fred. It'd be like, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. And when I do that, my wife shakes her head no. Val's like, no, don't do it. No. Say kingdom expansion. We are in this season where God has been talking to us about the year. This is the year of kingdom expansion. One of the points that God shared with us is that this year is a year of new cycle of new beginnings. Say new cycle and new beginnings. And he said, we will enter this year with a fresh sense of grace to try and do new things again. Some doors will open for the first time, and others will open again for a second chance. Divine do-overs. Say divine do-overs. But one of the things, can you guys put that point up for me? One of the things you got to understand is we've been talking about divine do-overs, but also think about doors opening for the first time. Say open doors. In the book Ecclesiastes, it talks about to everything there's a season for every purpose and a time for every purpose and activity under heaven. You have to understand that in this season, there are activities that we need to partake in order to accomplish what God is calling us to do. And there's a timing with God, whereas we couldn't have done it earlier. We have to do it in the right season. That's why we must be like the children of Issachar and be able to discern what season we're in. Because you can have a vision for something, but if you are in the wrong season, you won't see the fruit that you're supposed to see from that vision. Somebody say amen to that. And so what I'm saying to you is we are in this place of kingdom expansion, new cycles, new beginnings, and doors are opening. Whether there were doors that didn't open the first time or doors that we're just coming to for the first time, they're open. Say open door. And Jesus is the one who opened doors that no man can shut. And he closes doors you're not supposed to go into. So sometimes a no is favor. Even though it hurts your emotions, a no can still be favor, because you can end up being in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing, wondering why you're not seeing fruit. Now, Jesus, we have to keep in mind that as the doors open, we will face opposition. And you have to remember, there's a grace to face and overcome that opposition. The scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the what? World. The greater one wouldn't be inside of you if you didn't need him to be inside of you. A lot of us just need to release the greatness that's in us. Yo, y'all got quiet on that. Y'all don't know how to release the greatness? I remember one time Pastor Arnold taught a message, and when we were talking about the year of the champion, a call to extreme obedience. And one time, Pastor Arnold, I don't know if you remember this statement you made. You said that there's a champion in you, but what you going to do to let him out of you? A lot of times we face challenges and we forget that the greater one is on the inside. You must release him and unleash him and allow him to manifest the greatness of God through you and for you. You are not a victim. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Now, as we begin this lesson for today, I'm going to lay a little bit of foundation because I want you to understand that spiritual warfare is not optional. It's not optional. The fact that you're in a kingdom, you're going to engage in it. You don't really have a choice in the matter unless you don't want to be in the kingdom anymore. But then at that point, you just suffer oppression. I mean, so, you know, it's not really a good toss up. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says this: fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, Paul told him to do two things, because after that word, second time you see the word faith, you see a semicolon, which takes the place of a conjunction. And so it says, fight the good fight of faith. That's the first thing Paul was telling Timothy to do. Look, he was saying, look, homeboy, you're going to have to fight. And you're just going to be a fight of faith. And then he says, you could put the word and there where it says, and lay hold to eternal life. Now, when is eternal life? What does that look like? And where is eternity? I just paused for a minute on purpose. You got to think about it. Eternity is the realm of the spirit that operates outside of time. Time is a created thing. It is a created instrument. It is a created tool that God uses to accomplish his purposes and his plans. It was created, and you can read that in Genesis 1, because time was not created till a couple of days in. And it makes me wonder when I read that. It says there was evening and morning, and there was days, and it was before he even created time. And then he created time a couple times in there, a little bit after that. So eternity is in God. Eternal life starts the moment you come into the kingdom. A lot of people believe, and we have been taught to think, that eternal life starts when we leave this plane and we move to heaven. No, eternal life starts the moment you become a citizen of the kingdom. Ecclesiastes said he put eternity in our hearts. So Paul told him to lay hold of or apprehend eternal life. So you have to fight the fight of faith and lay hold of the life of God and the life of the kingdom. Otherwise, you won't experience it. That's why Jesus says the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it or apprehend it or receive it by force or aggression. You have to be aggressive in order to experience everything that the kingdom of God has to offer. Everybody understand that? Okay, good. Now, 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says everybody who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Notice he didn't say everyone who lives godly. He said desires. If you even have the desire to live like Jesus, to model what the kingdom life is like, you're going to deal with some stuff. I'll give you one more piece of evidence. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, or type Matthew 13 very quickly in your device. I remember the days when I first got saved, folks was flipping Bibles like... I remember that. We're technological now. We hit the button. So in Matthew 13, verse 19. Now, I'm gonna pick up where Jesus was telling the parable of the sower. He told this parable, talked about how someone went to sow seed. And he talked about different types of sowers in different places where the seed fell. Now, for this teaching, I'm just going to pick up where the explanation starts at verse 19. He said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Say opposition. But notice, and I'm going to inject a side note right here on this verse. Because that word understand is actually a Greek verb which denotes an action. It means to bring something together, to join something together in your mind. So if you are not actively engaging your mind with understanding the word, then the enemy comes immediately to take away what's been sown. If you have no seed, you can't reap a harvest. And this is how someone can hear the word of the kingdom, but it not manifest in their lives. This is how there can be a disconnect. And I was praying about this concerning this house in general, at the level of word that we receive and the level of mature word we receive about the kingdom of God. We don't receive fluff type of teachings. We receive teachings that hurt your feelings sometime and you get over it because you got learned. You went through the series on the fence before you got the other teaching, so you know not to take offense. So we receive some very maturing word, and we always have awesome encounters. But then I was like, God, why does it seem like there is a fervor or a passion missing? And I was like, God, where is the disconnect? One day I got frustrated, and I was like, Jesus, and I wanted to slap something like Elijah did and say, where is the God of Elijah? I was like, where is the passion? Where is the zeal for the house of God? Where is the zeal for the presence of God? Because when we go other places and do this same thing, people are crying out and they're rushing the steps and, oh my God, I saw angels. They have angelic visitations and all kind of stuff happen. And I'm like, why are we so used to it? When the call came, you couldn't even get to this step. There were so many people rushing in, falling out all over you. They, oh, Jesus, all on your shoulder. And you're like, okay, stand that up. You know, but we get this every week. My first week in Cincinnati, I came to this gathering. I felt cheated. I was like, wait a minute. Hold up. You know, because I have a friendship with Holy Spirit. I'm not religious with it like that. So I was like, look, Jesus, come here. I did Jesse the Planters. Come here. You mean to tell me you manifesting your presence like this and I've been missing it? What's up? Why didn't you move me sooner? So, but we come in like we used to it, like, oh, okay, yeah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise should be in my mouth. This, and I wonder, where's the disconnect? Sometimes when Apostle made a statement about what's available in the kingdom, he said there's no lack in the kingdom. There isn't. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think anybody in heaven has lack? Anybody in heaven walking around talking about, man, I need some, you got some, broke today. You think they're saying that? They're walking streets of gold. They're having the most fun you could ever have. And it says on earth as it is in heaven. And so, but a lot of times when we say things and describe what the kingdom is like, I hear people say, that's not my reality. I understand, but don't ever say that again. And I'm telling you prophetically what Holy Spirit told me to tell you. When you hear something demonstrated or described from the kingdom of God and is not your present reality, don't speak that out of your mouth. What he said was to tell you to just simply say, I receive it. Because God will always show us what the kingdom is like and show us where he wants to take us, whether that's our present reality or not. And if that thing isn't clicking for you, just say, Father, I receive it. Or if you want to be King James, say, be it thou unto me according to your word, O great Messiah. Do something, but don't say it ain't your reality, because the minute you say that is the minute you put a stop on that thing manifesting, because there is power and what you say. The kingdom is tongue and word activated. And you said it's not your reality, it never will be. And then you can wonder why you're trying to apply principles, you're hearing the word of the kingdom, and then you're like, well, that's, I know what the Bible say, but hey, I just ain't there. Then after a point of time of trying, your hope gets deferred, it makes your heart or your soul sick, and then you start wondering why you feel discouraged. I love all y'all. I know it might be coming out a little hard, but I love all y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all. So this is where there's a disconnect. When we hear things of the kingdom, because we have to actively engage. It is possible, especially for my educators in the room, it is possible to be in the presence of learning and not learn. Could you just sit there? You're present, but not present. Verse 20, it says, the one whom seed was sown in a rocky places, this is a man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So this person received it. This type of hearer received it. Yet he has no firm root. He's only temporary. When affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Opposition. Because it came because of the world. Because of the word. Verse 22. And the one whom the seed was sown among thorns. This is the man who hears the word. And the worries of the world, deceitfulness of wealth, choke it. And it becomes unfruitful. The word was fruitful when it was sown. It became because somebody faced opposition in the form of concerns about the world or their natural life and deceitfulness of wealth. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Up till last week, I had a $1 million plan in my brain. If I had $1 million today, I knew exactly what I would do with it. But then I had to upgrade that thing. I got a $5 million plan now. Because I know exactly what I would do with the money that God would give me. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Helping people costs money. That is why we taught on the principles of kingdom economics. So you know when you get seeds, you don't eat it, you sow it with the expectation of receiving harvest. You know that you give alms to help those who are in need. And you preserve their dignity by not putting it all on Facebook and Snapchat and tweeting out, oh, I just sold into so-and-so. That ain't everybody's business. That's between you, them, and Jesus. And really, you need to remove yourself out of it like the angels. Why you need to know my name? I'm just giving you the blessing. Then there's the tithe, which preceded, which was a kingdom principle prior to the law, which is you give 10%. And it was God's way of honoring covenant and taking care and paying for the people who served in the house of God every day, all day, as their profession. Because to some stuff take a lot of time and a lot of man hours when you are in the house of God. I know people think that you can run a church part-time, but you can't do it. You can't do it. You got to do that thing full-time, and you need a full-time staff. I mean, these websites don't update themselves by osmosis. I know the Holy Ghost gives revelation, but he not typing on the keyboard. The social media posts need to be built. All this stuff we print out need to be printed. All the prayers and fasting guidelines we send out gotta happen. Them phone reaches gotta happen. All that stuff gotta go on. Somebody gotta schedule something for Apostle John. Come on. And then you gotta talk about rehearsing the man hours these musicians put in. They put in 3 hours on Saturday, then 3 hours the other Saturday, 5 hours before that, and then 5 hours the week before that. What are you talking about? There has to be some stream of income to support them so they can be fully dedicated to the house of God. Because excellence doesn't come cheap and it does not come free. If you want cheap stuff, you can get some cheap stuff. But I would rather pay the price and explain once and have high quality than be explaining poor quality later. This is why we have to take and expand the kingdom and take our areas that we are assigned to in the marketplace. Because when you understand there's a gifting in your life, and because it's described in Bible terms as apostle, prophet, pastor, and teacher, and evangelist, you think the first thing you got to do is come to the church. Well, everybody in the church don't need to be full-time. Now, we need a whole staff of full-time, like I just said, but then there are some folks who got to go out into the marketplace. You've got to be the ones to dominate your area. You can be a prophet with a prophetic anointing working at your job because somebody in there needs to hear the Lord to say, no, this is not what we should do. Somebody needs to have that loving shepherd's heart to love on the employees, to help them when they get offended and don't understand why a decision was made that didn't benefit them, but it benefited everybody else. Somebody needs that pastoral anointing at work. And then some folks need the apostolic anointing, because I think sometimes I flow in that. I just say, toughen up, chief, let's go. Ain't about you. Lick your wounds and go. Take this Band-Aid. Come on. Glory to God. So kingdom expansion will result in the engagement of spiritual warfare. Expansion requires the acquisition of new territory. If you give up what you already possess and dominate, then it is not expansion. It is a trade. God has not called us to trade, to give one thing in exchange for another. He's called us to expand, meaning we dominate the current area and then we make that larger and have a greater influence and a greater reach. That is why I'm so glad, Pastor Arnold, you made an R&B CD. And what you said is what Holy Spirit told me. Some church religious folks probably was like, ooh, he a pastor? He making R&B? Ooh, that's the devil. They need to get that devil off of them. Because that's the church mentality and not really the church that Jesus said he was going to build. That would be the church mentality where the spirit of religion has creeped in. Because, Pastor Arnold, you have to go to the marketplace because, as you said, you speak a different language. See, the Holy Spirit gave me revelation about supernatural languages because tongues is one form of a supernatural language. Just like when you read the book about the five love languages. I remember one time I read that. Val's language is one thing, mine was another. And she was like, well, it seemed like it might be work for you to speak my language. No, baby, I speak in supernatural languages. I can get your language supernaturally and you can get mine too. Now, what I say that to say, music is a language all itself. And you speak that language. They might not understand English, but they understand riffs. And they understand when you do this, they know some anointing gonna flow. Or when you do this, they already know. Now, some of you have other languages that you speak supernaturally, whether it be the language of education, the language of beauty and hair, when you're hairdressing, because some of us own salons up in here and do makeup, not work at it, own it. Because it is not by happenstance that we have entrepreneurs in this place and we're talking about expanding the kingdom. Because entrepreneurship is one of the keys to kingdom expansion. See, a lot of times people want to tell you, try to tell you to keep business separate from faith. And people don't want to hear your faith or hear about Jesus when they come to your job. Well, that's partially true. They want to see your faith. And they will want to hear about Jesus because they will wonder why they feel the presence of God, Kiva, every time they come into your salon. Be like, I'm going to drive all the way across town to get my hair did because I felt the peace of God when I sat in that chair. Because you are anointed and there's an anointing on you. And every time you touch somebody, it releases the anointing on them. The anointing is a tangible, supernatural substance that transfers. That is why when you step into your job, you need to say, I release the anointing upon every piece of this building. Every brick, every nail, every wall, every chair, every desk. Let it drip upon every person. I release the anointing and I forbid any demonic activity. Glory to God. So as we engage in spiritual warfare, we have to understand the weapons of our warfare are not carnal because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Some folks may look like your enemy. They might act like your enemy. They might cuss you out like they're your enemy, but it's not them. It is the spirit that is motivating them. In some cases, possessing them. Other cases, oppressing them. Some cases, provoking and poking. Some just provoking manifestations of the flesh. So you got to deal with the spirit. Because if you don't, that person going to keep coming. And if you don't deal with the spirit, they going to get other folks to keep coming. And you're gonna be like, why are all these dudes coming up here like that? It's a spirit. It talks about we war against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, when you think about that, it sounds like these demonic spirits have some kind of power or authority. But you need to understand, they rule darkness. They don't rule you. You have authority. You sit in a higher place of authority because you are seated right now with Christ in heavenly places. The scripture says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above every principality and power and name that can be named. And you are seated with him. Right now, there is an image of you, a portion of your soul, sitting with him in the realm of the spirit next to his throne. That's why he said come boldly, because you have access and authority in the kingdom. You don't have to beg God for anything. Like they said, if you haven't seen Black Panther, too late, spoiler alert. Like they said in Black Panther, stand up, you're a king. He wouldn't be the king of kings if you weren't a king. You can't be a king over more kings if you didn't have kings to be a king over. And regardless of your gender, we're talking about spiritual placement. You are a king, even if you're a female. Because queen denotes your sharing. Queen denotes, well, I still follow the king. But when you are a female and you are a king in the spirit, it means that there's nobody beside you but other kings. No one above you but the king of kings. You have authority, ladies. And gentlemen, and this seems to be the season for female entrepreneurs, because everywhere I go, female entrepreneurs are just popping up. So ladies, you better tap into that flow, start your business, do what you got to do. Don't quit your job yet until the Holy Spirit tell you, though. Tell me, I believe in the supernatural, I'm quitting. Do that in the right season and time. Listen to the first part of the message. Oh, Jesus. So our weapons are not carnal. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. Our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Our supernatural weapons are supernaturally empowered to demolish everything that the enemy would try to establish. Glory to God. So I'm going to go real quick. You need to understand that one of our weapons is, well, two of them, they're kind of combined, is faith as well as joy. Now, what I was sensing and what's been said and how God has been moving is the issue of joy. Because some of us have been weary because we have been believing and haven't seen a manifestation. Well, not even just some of us in here. Some of us watching online. Hello, everybody online. Facebook, website. God bless you. Some of us have been weary because we have been fighting for a long time. And that takes a lot out of you. And some of us have begun to lose our joy because of the battle. We're not as happy, as excited as we used to be. Because we're burnt out. We're too tired to be happy. It's like you just want to go to sleep. But you heard, rest is a gift from God. But sometimes it's hard to rest because you're too busy fighting. And then when you lay down, you're fighting in your mind, thinking about the thing. Then having them demonic dreams, dreaming about the thing. And then you wake up exhausted like you never slept. Let's look at Luke chapter 18. Because I want to talk to you about faith so we can get to the point of joy. Because faith, you got to understand that the enemy's attacking your faith in order to seep your joy to stop manifestation. I say that one more time. The enemy is attacking your faith in order to steal your joy, in order to hinder manifestation of what you're believing for. So in Luke chapter 18, Now, it was real funny when I studied this out because Jesus asked a question. And most of the time when I hear that question asked and this passage quoted, it's talking about people refer it to the second coming of Christ. When the Son of Man returns, where he find faith in the earth. And I'm like, yeah, he's going to find me if I'm not raptured up before then or something like that. But when you break that down, that's not what he was talking about. So let's break that down. Now, as we think about the word faith, let's think about the fact that faith is a supernatural spiritual force. It is the first level of the supernatural. Because that's why in Corinthians it said we had the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we spoke. Faith is a spiritual force. We tap into it. It affects the way we believe, which then affects the way we speak. So, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I don't fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Now, this dude doesn't respect God, not scared of any person. He said, but I'll listen because she's bothering me. She's going to keep pestering me. Now, look how Jesus broke this down. He says, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice? Say justice. Say it again. For his elect who cry to him day and night. And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. Somebody should get excited about that part. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said he will bring justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Now, you got to understand, when you ask God for justice, he's moving quickly. He's not taking all day to bring about justice. But you got to understand, justice for you may look differently than what you think. Sometimes we get in our emotions and we pray the prayer like David prayed, kill my enemies, oh God. God might not say, that's not justice for me. God wants to deal with their hearts. Why kill them when he can transform them? He can make it right. Somebody might have taken advantage of you, did you wrong, slapped your mama, did whatever, but he can make it right. Say justice. Justice is the foundation of his throne. One of the points that apostles said that God revealed is that 2018 will be a year of righteous judgment, and the righteous judge will execute judgment on matters that seem to have been unnoticed, untouched, or unaddressed. Matters that seemed, they were not unnoticed, they were not untouched, they were not addressed. It just looked that way. But he's bringing justice. Say justice. It said, that which has opposed you and those who have opposed you will now be judged and rendered powerless. Divine reversals. Say amen to that. You should be excited. Because as people try to plot against you because they're picking up on schemes of the enemy, it won't work. It is powerless. All that's going to happen is they're going to go through the motions and then it's going to fall in their face because God is going to render justice. Now, you have to understand that the scripture says that we have to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, I want to tell you prophetically, some have stopped dreaming with God. You stop imagining with God and you've lowered your expectation because of a delay or a deferment. But God said the deferment is over. Now, everybody who knows about student loans understands what deferment is, because some folks have applied for one. It's when you don't have to pay right now, but the interest keeps accruing. And then when the deferment is over, you begin to make payments, but then you also pay on that interest that accrued. Now, see, hear me in the spirit when I say your delay or your deferment is over, and which means there's some interest that has been accruing in the realm of the spirit that's about to break forth and give you harvest. The deferment is over. Dream again in Jesus' name. I declare prophetically that he's going to speak vision and dreams. He's going to begin to enlarge the dream and vision that you have for your life. Dream bigger in Jesus' name. Come on, Eric. Ooh, because I'm not going to talk too long. We got to go. Also, there's one more thing I want you to understand. That you have to face and overcome your giants. Some people, I sensed in the spirit, were just wishing and wanting their challenges and their problems to go away. That doesn't happen. They have not gone away because you have not slayed those giants. You have not cut the head off of Goliath, so he is not going anywhere until you do. Goliath was talking noise to Israel day and night until David came and cut off his head. The scripture says in Numbers 33 and 55, those whom you let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes, as thorns in your side, and will trouble you in the land. Talking about the land of promise. Whatever challenge you do not face is going to stay there until you face it and overcome it. Kill the giants. Kill the giants. Kill the giants. You can start playing. So I want you to get your joy back. The scripture says in Psalms 118 and 24, this is the day, this is the season, this is the time. You can interpret day as all of that, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The statement "we will" is an act of your will. In order to get your joy back, you have to decide. You have to want it. And it's an act of your will. So I'm going to lead you in this activation. And this is what I do every morning. This is a part of one of the things I do every morning. So repeat after me. Say, Father,
Father,
I thank you
for this day
that you've made. And as an act of my will, I choose to rejoice,
to be glad,
and enjoy every moment in it. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what I decree every day. And that's what you need to begin to do. Activate your faith with your words. Every day, I choose to rejoice. I'm going to enjoy every moment. I'm going to laugh in the face of every challenge because I know that God is fighting for me. And every giant, spiritual giant that comes up to me, I'm going to cut off his head and feed his body to the birds. And I'm going to receive the promise. Now, I also want to tell you prophetically that God is bringing fresh breath and fresh wind to every one of you. Some of you have been experiencing dryness, like in Ezekiel 37. And so God is prophesying and speaking fresh breath from the four winds to refresh you, to strengthen you. He also is putting a new flesh on you, meaning he's going to dress you again. Because in Ezekiel 37, he said the dry bones were the bones of the house of Israel because their hope had perished. Because the enemy tried to wear out their patience. But I'm telling you, fresh breath, if you will receive it right now. Receive it, fresh breath. And when I was studying, I saw a vision of angels in every corner of the room. And that at this point in the gathering, that they will begin to move and just blow. So tap into the supernatural right now. Close your eyes and just receive the fresh breath, the refreshing in your spirit, but not just your spirit, man, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Because your flesh is weary, because your soul is weary. Do it, God. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Fresh breath, fresh wind. Fresh wind. Fresh wind. Fresh wind. Fresh wind. Fresh wind. Fresh wind.